I think that what you've done with the audio dramas is to raise the bar and to show other Catholic artists in whatever media that they work that if they strive for excellence, we can actually impact the secular culture, and that is what evangelization is about.
Welcome to Faith and Culture, a production of the Augustine Institute. Every week, we explore the glory of the Catholic faith and the beauty of Catholic culture. And now, here's the host of Faith and Culture, Joseph Pierce.
Hi, this is Paul McCusker with the Augustine Institute. This is the Faith and Culture podcast. And no, I am not your host today. I am actually a guest, but I'm leading in because Joseph Pierce is my guest in my home. We are actually in what I would call our theater room, which is really just the room where we watch movies. And Joseph has stayed with us just overnight last night. And we're here and we thought this would be a good time and place to do one of these podcasts. So over to you, Joseph.
Well, thank you, Paul. So I don't know whether I'm saying that it's good to be a guest on the Paul McCusker Faith and Culture podcast, or whether it's good to have you as my guest once again. Mm. But either way, it is good to be back in discussion with my good friend, Paul McCusker, who works with me at the Augustine Institute. He's our resident writer. He writes audio dramas and works of fiction and all sorts of other things, a man of many talents. But I'm actually excited that before we start talking about the topic of our discussion today, just wanted to sort of set the scene for our listeners. So we're in this downstairs theatre room, and there's sort of that really cosy chair set up, a bit like a theatre in front of a big screen TV. I know last night after I got back from giving a talk here in Colorado Springs, we watched a couple of episodes of a British sitcom, which will remain nameless for the time being, which was great fun. And I'm looking around now, signed photographs of actors from movies. There's rows and rows of bookshelves full of DVDs. This really is a moviegoer's sort of little mini paradise.
We've always called it the pop culture room because and this has been years in the making, movie posters and paraphernalia from movies that we have enjoyed and actors we've enjoyed. So everything sort of gets put into this room and hung up on the walls or put on the shelves, and it looks like an explosion in some sort of
It's an ordered trivia explosion room, because it's a very, very beautifully designed room. Lots of, as you say, many signed movie posters on the wall. And the only thing moving apart from us in the room is a clock, Elvis Presley clock, with the pendulum being Elvis's hips swinging. And more puritanical times, I'm sure that we'd be raising eyebrows, but I presume that those who like the Faith and Culture podcast, the Augustine Institute, are not going to be too scandalized by the fact that Elvis is on the wall.
Well, if this were Ed Sullivan, the camera would be only on the upper portion of his body.
Exactly.
Because when he was on that show, you know, he was doing the hip swinging, and Ed Sullivan said, well, we can't have that, so the camera zeroed in on his face.
The only good thing about that would be that the part of Elvis which actually tells the time is above his
above
his
waist. Right.
So that's good. We can still use it as a clock. Well, now, as we're here and surrounded by various manifestations, movie posters, etc., that celebrate the art of storytelling, and you and I, of course, are very keen on insisting upon the importance of storytelling, or mythopoeia, to use the Greek term, if we're going to be in the world of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, the art of telling stories, the art of making stories, the art of being creative with the gift of narrative. So you are actually a consummate artist in this. You've been doing it for how long have you been doing it?
Well, I started when I was five, I'm 25 years old now.
For 20 whole years?
No, really about 40 years. I think I can mark when I really started to write with intentionality rather than just messing around almost 40 years ago.
Now, just you know,
and I'm still trying to get good at it. I mean, that's the big thing.
Well, I tell you what, if you're still getting better, then you're now very good, because you've been very good for a very long time. Well, and perhaps kind. Very, very briefly, you could just tell our listeners, for those that don't know, Paul McCusker's brief CV. I mean, what you've done in the past, your conversion, and what you're doing now.
Yeah, the short version is I started writing. Amazingly, I went to an arts-minded Baptist church when I was growing up. And that was the place where I got to sort of cut my teeth on writing little short sketches. And then we were doing one-act plays and then full-act plays, some of which are still in print to be performed. And kind of moved through that. That led me into the world that would become the Adventures in Odyssey. It connected me to Focus on the Family. And they were just starting Adventures in Odyssey and needed writers and asked me if I would help. And so that was 1986 when I first freelanced for Focus on the Family and then joined the staff when Odyssey launched, basically, and have been connected to that show for 30 years. And that was huge learning experience. I mean, I can't, there's no saying if how honored I am.
If I could just interject just at this moment, I just want to say something about the power of the Adventures in Odyssey series.
And we should say that it started as an audio drama. I mean, it wasn't a stage thing or a film thing. Initially, it was audio drama.
And no, I would say that the power of it for me in our own family is very palpable, because Adventures in Odyssey is the only thing that gets our 10-year-old daughter to voluntarily set her alarm clock at 7:30 religiously, so to speak, every Saturday morning, so she can wake up in time to listen to Adventures in Odyssey. Sweet. Nothing else will drag her out of bed. So I mean, it is this shows, I think, the power of storytelling to, if you like, evoke and help grow the imagination of children.
And that was focused on the family's intention. They, at the time, Dr. James Dobson was very concerned about Saturday morning cartoons and animation for kids and the worldview that they presented and the morality of it. And rather than keep complaining about it, he was challenged to actually do something about it. And so Adventures in Odyssey came out of that mandate. They weren't in a position to do TV or film at that point. Their expertise was radio. So even in what was then the MTV generation, we created an audio drama when nobody was doing audio dramas, which for me creatively was amazing, because it was like starting something from scratch. And we weren't trying to do 1950s radio. We knew it couldn't be that. It had to be something new and more modern. And so we made it up as we went along. Now, there's no question, 30 years later, 30 years plus, with millions of listeners through the radio and through the CDs that came out, cassettes originally, we knew from the beginning the impact the story can have on lives, on kids and on everything. I mean, and it's not a big surprise. For example, Netflix, a lot of these streaming channels now are going to, we're going to see a huge investment in children's programming. Because as we all know, you get the hearts and minds of children, and it's shaping and forming them. And story does that more effectively than any lecture most of the time.
Right.
And so the world, to call it that, but the secular world has claimed story. They've claimed story for kids, whether it's Disney or Nickelodeon or any of those. And they do what they do very well. And so for me, story has been a key part of it. I mean, I've been writing stories since I was really little. And when I became Catholic 11 years ago, as I was received into the church, I was still working at Focus on the Family, and there was no issues there. But I was also trying to figure out, how can I take everything I've learned over the last 30 plus years and bring that into the Catholic community? And it was through Dr. Tim Gray. He and I met and became friends. And then he kind of approached me and said, why don't you come to the Augustine Institute and do here for the Catholic community what you've been doing for the evangelical community, and bring that expertise and experience into that world. So for the last 3 years, that's what I've been doing there. And it's all centered around what you and I have talked about a lot, which is the power of story, the power of story to impact hearts and minds and what it can do.
And I know that you get bashful and embarrassed, and God bless you for it, but nonetheless, I'm going to make you blush. I would like you to just tell us very briefly about the success that the Augustine Institute audio dramas have been having. Now, we've done three, you're in the midst of doing a fourth. Just very, you know, just again, very briefly tell us, you know, how successful it's been.
Well, and fortunately, I can answer that without feeling any degree of ego, because we have a team. You know, it's not about me. I'm part of this team. And so it's more about the project than it is about me anyway. So, and I'm very pleased. We started with the life of St. Francis and dramatized that. And from the beginning, and the first three dramas we did were about saints, St. Francis, St. Patrick, and St. Clair. St. Cecilia. St. Clair may come later. What we were after was to, again, to make them very real. Not to diminish their faith, not to make them human at the expense of their faith, but to show how they lived their lives and how they made the decisions they made in answer to a call from God, and often a great sacrifice, and ultimately the greatest sacrifice in the case of St. Cecilia. And drama does that. We can write biographies, we can do a lot of lectures about it, but to dramatize it, to hear them and to put your mind and put yourself into that time and space with them gives us a lot of insight about their humanity and about their faith, which inspires us. Even if we don't agree with them, it still inspires us. And so that was the starting point. And so far, it's I want to say it's going well. I don't know that I realized to what degree we would have to introduce the Catholic community to the concept of audio drama. I sort of thought it was in the ether and everybody was aware of it, but part of the uphill battle, if I can call it that, has been just to make people aware of what it is. That these are fully produced. We've got actors. I mean, 30, 40 actors that we record in Britain, and some of them are the best of the British.
Well, incredibly
talented. And then we do custom music. It's scored like a movie. The sound effects are done in order to quicken the mind and the imagination to it. Excuse me. So it's been an introduction on one level, and then the responses that we're getting at this point have been fantastic. I mean, people are listening. They're listening in their cars when they're driving with their kids. They're listening when they're exercising. They're taking it with them, and everything's coming alive for them through that story.
And I know that you haven't mentioned it, but the audio drama on St. Francis did win the audio drama equivalent of an Oscar, effectively the Audi Awards.
Yes.
And it got first prize, right? It received the
Audi. It was best audio drama.
Best audio drama, which
was up against, I mean, we're very pleased, obviously, because it is a secular award. This is not some Catholic organization.
Right.
It was a secular award. We're up against Audible, Simon & Schuster. We're up against these major players who are producing things much like we are. And we got best audio for that. So yeah, I'm very pleased.
I think you know what you've done here is to show that if we produce good art as Catholics, that don't compromise our faith, don't compromise orthodoxy, but the storytelling is superb. That all of the technical qualities, the music you mentioned, the acting, all of those things are superb. Then we can impact the wider secular culture, that we don't have to do things badly. I know Chesterton famously said, if a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing badly. And it is. I mean, it's better to do something badly than not do it at all. But the point is, better than doing something badly is doing something well. And I think that what you and the team at the Augustine Institute have done with the audio dramas is to raise the bar and to show other Catholic artists in whatever media that they work, that if they strive for excellence, we can actually impact the secular culture, and that is what evangelization is about: is changing the secular culture and turning the secular culture to Christ. I think that what you and the team, Augustine Institute, are doing is if you like a beacon, a light that's shining forth to Catholic artists around the world, and hopefully inspiring them to emulate what we've been doing here, so that we can evangelize the culture in the 21st century with a new Catholic revival.
Yeah, and that's the nature of art. It what we believe is when you read a good book, writers want to write good books. When you see a movie that's really well done, or you hear an audio drama, whatever the art form is, when you see it done well, then you are inspired to want to at least equal that or better it. And that's the great thing about this, that the inspiration goes in multi directions, in the way that I'll use an old example, you know, the Beatles and the Beach Boys. They lived in two different countries, and yet through their albums, they were inspiring each other
right.
to the next album that they did. And whether they talked about it or not, it just, as the old cliche goes, it sort of lifts up all the ships on the water. It
right.
sort of buoys everything up.
Right.
And that's one of the things, and again, this comes from Dr. Tim Gray at the Augustine Institute. Quality, excellence is uppermost in his mind. If we're going to do it, we need to do it well.
Yes.
It's not good enough. Good enough is never good enough. We've
right.
talked about that.
Right.
We've also talked about my old pet phrase, which was, God can redeem our worst efforts, but we shouldn't keep putting him in a position where he has to. So we come to, he gives us talents and abilities. We are meant to use them.
Yeah.
So, and that's what we aspire to do with what we're up to.
Well, on that inspiring note, we'll conclude this discussion. I intend to have you back as often as they let me to continue these discussions about how we renew the culture through the beauty of Catholic storytelling in the very multifarious ways. In fact, not that we can do it, but you yourself are doing as you're writing fiction as well as audio dramas. So let's. I think I'd love to have you back to discuss just the art of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps we'll do that. But in the meantime, Paul McCusker, you introduced me at the beginning. Would you like to conclude this?
Well, I would conclude by saying thank you, Joseph, for being my guest here while I'm your guest on this. And also to remind everybody, if you want more information about the podcast or anything to do with the Augustine Institute, you can go to AugustineInstitute.org. We have Faith and Culture website up as well at, is that Faith and
Culture? Faithandculture.com.
.com. And if you want to know more about the audio dramas, you can go to AIR Theater, A-I-R, theater.org, and see a lot of stuff about that as well. So we have lots of places you can go if you want to. But thank you very much for listening, and we'll hope to talk to you soon. Go.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Faith and Culture with Joseph Pierce. Faith and Culture is a production of the Augustine Institute. For more information, please visit us at faithandculture.com.